Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 48 of Nerd Nuptial. It is good to be back.
Yeah, we've been quite ill over the holiday 2 weeks that we've been off of work, and now we're back, kind of.
It's true. It's hard because, I mean, I went back to work for one day, and we had 2 weeks off, which was glorious because we got to sleep in and have fun and watch movies and watch TV and play video games and read comics, and it was just a lot of nerd fun in those 2 weeks. But during those 2 weeks, you were really sick for the first week, and I was really sick for the second week.
Because that's what happens when you're married, is you give each other colds, even though you try not to.
I know, it's hard, but, you know, when you're sharing the same space, It's definitely hard, but that is why you guys did not get an episode last week, because if we try to give an episode, we would have been sounded like this.
Yeah, it would have been pretty pathetic. let's not listen.
Yeah, we usually try to listen back to our own shows just for quality assurance, and we probably wouldn't even listen back to that one.
No, probably not.
But the episode before, we got some nice feedback from the episode before, where we were talking about some of our holiday favorites. We got a lot of nice tweets and emails from you saying, hey, these are the movies that we watch in my household, these are the movies that we grew up on, and a couple of people telling me I was out of my friggin' mind about It's a Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
I figured you would really enjoy that.
Yeah, I do enjoy that.
Yeah. That people telling me that I'm crazy.
Yes.
Now, what we're going to talk about today is, we wanted to talk about this before the end of 2016, or at least at the very, very beginning of 2017, but we kind of missed that window because of sickness. But yeah, what we're talking about today is upcoming movies in 2017 that we're excited about. But before we get into that, we have to do the mandatory, minuscule recap of 2016, what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything like that. But we're going to keep it really short, because honestly,
kind of disappointing.
2016 was a very disappointing year when it came to movies, and this is probably the year that I spent the least amount of time watching movies.
Yeah, I think there wasn't a lot that interested us, so I feel like we kind of were pretty selective with what we actually watched.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we went to the theaters even less, and we didn't even rent that much at home, and what we did rent or what we did go and see really wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We were thinking about what movies we like enjoyed, and I don't know, like, which ones did you enjoy this year?
Well, the first thing that popped in my head was Star Trek Beyond.
Like, well, of course.
Well, yeah, of course that's the first thing that pops in my head. But like, yeah. And for those of you who just listened to the show, make sure to go to thenerdparty.com and check out some of our other shows, because just last week at the time of this recording, if you check out Filibuster by going to thenerdparty.com, you can find a special commentary, a full length audio commentary for Star Trek Beyond. And I was a part of that with Lee Hutchison and Matt Hansen. And that was a lot of fun. And it was funny, because as I was doing I knew I liked the movie, and every time I watch it, I like it a little bit more. But as I was doing the commentary, I was like, man, yeah, this is a good film. This is good stuff.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I know my nerd cred is in jeopardy whenever I say this, but I'm not really a huge Star Trek fan at all. And I really enjoyed Star Trek Beyond, for sure.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
I was just hoping that it would do a little bit better in the theater, because it didn't quite meet up to expectations financially for Paramount. And this just really saddens me, because it's a really solid film. It's a really solid blockbuster. And speaking of blockbusters, I think that's my favorite, absolutely, hands down, my favorite blockbuster of the year.
Okay.
Because there have been a lot of cool indie movies that have come out. There's been some nice dramas that have come out. But, you know, this is the Nerd Party. You know, we're talking mainly genre films. But yeah, so for every for every great drama or indie film that came out, there's been at least four blockbusters or genre films that have just been crappy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Another one that comes to mind is Civil War. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. I thought it was fun and entertaining, and it's fun to go back and watch as well. So
that's true. We did go back and rewatch that one.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot for a Marvel movie.
That's
with you.
That's true. That's very true.
Because you were just, boom, no.
It's true.
what else was on that list for 2016?
Well, I think maybe like our, like just mentioning our top three, would you say Rogue One would go up there just because of the nostalgia factor? And
yeah, yeah, I think so. I think so because I had a, even though I had my issues with it, mm-hmm. I had a wild time.
Yeah.
Seeing it in the movie theater. Like, it was a very enjoyable movie theater experience.
Right.
Which you don't really get to say that often anymore. It was just, there was a lot of great action. It was great to see on the big screen. You had that nostalgia factor. And it was, yeah, it's just, yeah, I'd have to say those are our top three blockbusters yeah. of the year in genre films.
Biggest disappointment?
Oh, Suicide Squad, hands down. Hey, I didn't even have to think about that one. Biggest disappointment.
Yeah, for sure. Because we were looking forward to it for so long, and it just did not deliver what we wanted at all, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, yeah.
And we love those characters, but whew,
yeah,
it was rough.
That was pretty, pretty rough because it's just there was so much buildup in our minds for that one. There was, it just, we just...
We put it on such a pedestal, and then it just didn't even meet that at all.
And it's just, and like, even the movies that we kind of enjoyed were still mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Finding Dory was just eh.
Yeah.
You know, and Ghostbusters was just eh. It was nowhere near as bad as everyone was saying it, but it was still just...
Well, when you go in kind of expecting it not to be good, though.
That's true. That's true. Like, we expected it to be absolute 100% garbage.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, okay, cool. That was very mediocre. All right. One thing we did like was 10 Cloverfield Lane, though.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I think I liked it more
than you liked it more than I did.
But there's still a lot of great... Oh, Apocalypse. That was a bad one.
Oh, yeah. That X-Men was really
Apocalypse,
bad.
Apocalypse.
That was
yeah.
bad.
See, there's still a few out there that...
We haven't seen yet.
We haven't seen that. I'm kind of embarrassed that we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen Arrival yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of ashamed that we haven't seen Arrival yet. We really want to see Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And...
La La Land.
La La Land. Yeah. Like, everyone's saying that's going to get Best Picture.
Yeah.
We really need to see that one. And, oh, Batman v Superman came out in 2016. I had completely...
I love how we just completely ignored that.
I completely forgot that was coming out in 2016. Now, we're not going to go down that road because I
yeah.
liked it. I understand that it has its flaws.
You liked it.
I'm not saying it's a good film. I'm saying I liked it. There's the difference
well,
there.
Okay.
We saw Jungle Book, which I thought was okay. Like, you were asleep during it. You don't even get
well,
to...
Well, the fact that I fell asleep just shows.
Well, that doesn't show anything. talk about, you know, like the most mediocre film, I think, of the year, Zootopia.
See, everyone loves that movie.
I don't understand why. I don't understand
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan either.
And also, Deadpool was mediocre for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, Suicide Squad hated, Batman v Superman I liked, but I admit that it was a bad movie. And, yeah, there's just, like, yeah, I want to see Silence, and we haven't seen Moana yet, or Sing Street. Just a lot of good films out there. That,
yeah.
Like, well, good reviewed.
Right.
Well-reviewed films.
So we have some work to do.
We really do. And I've been so behind this year. It's kind of embarrassing. But well, let's talk about the good stuff of 2016. Like,
yeah.
One thing that we really enjoyed in 2016 was specifically two TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons why I decided to do this podcast was because you don't promise me we'd review House of Cards.
Oh, that's right. And that was the beginning of this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I sometimes forget that this podcast is still
it's
of a baby.
Yeah, not even a year.
Because we started in February.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary of
Nerd
Nuptial.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, so House of Cards season 4 was
amazing.
Just phenomenal. It was, in my opinion, the best season of House of Cards, which is surprising for us to say because we love season 1 so much.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it delivered everything we wanted it to deliver, and I feel like, we didn't really like season three.
No.
But season four kind of redeemed that, for
there,
sure.
There were so many great things about season four, mm-hmm. like especially towards the end, mm-hmm. and how much female influence was in front of and behind the camera, and the expansion of Robin Wright's role mm-hmm. as executive producer as well as director. And it's just... it was just a phenomenal piece of television. And one other thing was Westworld.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all about that. If you've listened to our podcast at all, you know that we were kind of obsessed with that for a while. So, yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to for 2017.
Oh, very much so.
Kind of, you know, thinking about the future is, you know, soon. We actually found out the date of, wait, do we know the date of House of Cards release yet?
It's a rumor. It's a rumor. There's okay. nothing official, but... The rumor, I just heard about it today, or it might have been last night, was that it was going to be, that season five of House of Cards was going to be dropped on February 24th.
And the baby's due on February 20th, so it could be awesome.
That could work out perfectly.
Yeah, because we'd be home and have time together to watch it, but
Yeah.
if she's late...
It is really interesting. This shows you how big of nerds we are, because when we found out we were pregnant, we asked what's the due date, and they said February 20th, and both at the same time, as like we of course cried, and then we got into the car, and the first thing that we said when we got into the car was, "Ooh, that's around the time the House of Cards drops."
So lame.
I wonder how that's going to affect our watching.
That's right. Because that's how obsessed we are with House of Cards.
Hopefully she's a sleeper.
That's right. Hopefully.
Let's hope. Yeah. But yes, yeah, so everybody should go to thenerdparty.com and check out our back catalog because that's some of the first stuff that we started podcasting about in February and March was the lead up to House of Cards and then House of Cards. Mm-hmm. We had a great time talking about it. So we definitely recommend going back and listening to that. And also we did a Westworld review not that long ago.
No,
so
yeah.
if this is your first time listening, please go back and check that out because it's a great show and I can't wait until season two comes out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, season twos or going into 2017, we kind of are looking ahead and seeing what it looks like a pretty good, interesting, you know, list of movies that might be coming out. So I don't know. What do you think?
There's
some good ones on there. It looks like.
I feel like I've been so jaded by 2016 because I remember having this conversation in 2015 where we're just like, oh man, 2016 is going to be a good year for movies. Going to be a good year for nerds.
That's true.
And it was either. It was like some good, very little was good, most was mediocre, and some was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not a good place to be in.
That's true. Well, some of the movies that I'm excited about are for sure War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I'd have to that say one. That's at the top of my list.
Yeah.
For 2017, absolute top is War of the Planet of the Apes. I am a huge fan of Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's, I'm sorry, Caesar exists in my mind.
He's real. Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. And I think it will be good. And I think that, like, they have each one has been really good. So mm-hmm. I feel like my expectations can be high. Like, I can set it on that level, or I think it will be good.
Well, I think it's funny because with Rogue One, you know, it was its own entity. And you're just like, okay, I want to temper my expectations. I want to make sure that I don't hype it up too terribly much. Mm-hmm. And with the Planet of the Apes, the first one was amazing. The second one was just as good. And so you have a track record, and it's a proven track record, and it's the same director as the second one. And it has a set purpose. It's
right.
It's like, oh, this is the war. You know, like we mm-hmm. at the end of the second one, we saw the beginning of the war.
Right.
Like, or that war was coming.
Right.
And
now they're going to deliver.
And so I like that. I like that. This is what this movie is going to be about.
For sure.
And for sure. What excites you the most? Like, what do you want to see the most happen in War of the Planet of the Apes?
I think I want to see, this is terrible to say, but like, I want to see the apes win where it becomes the Planet of the Apes.
Hell yeah. That's okay. It's like whenever you watch
You're rooting for the apes for sure.
Yeah, whenever you're watching a Western, mm-hmm. you know, like, and you're seeing all these horses, and then all this gunfire comes out the horses, you're like, no, kill the people, save the horses. That's me when I watch a film. So I want to see the apes win. And I want to see the apes win because I want to see it eventually turn into the Chuck Heston timeline.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
And
I think they know that too. I think that they know that as a fan, it would be cool to see that happen.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they deliver on that.
I think they will, and it would be interesting to see that. And it makes me wonder, is there going to be a fourth one, or are they going to finish it up? Are they going to button it up with a trilogy?
Right.
But as with any franchise, as long as it's making money, they'll make another one.
Yeah.
We were out to lunch with some friends of ours, and he started asking questions about Star Wars because he's, you know, like, he's a casual fan. He's not a hardcore fan like we are, or like some of our listeners are. And he said, he's like, so, like, are they coming out with a Star Wars film every other year? And I was like, no, they're coming out with a Star Wars film every single year.
Yeah.
He's like, for how long? And I was like, as long as they keep making money.
Forever. For all of time. Yeah, for sure. What else excites you about this year?
Well, I think you have the list in front of you. So, let's see here. Let's see. I think the first thing that comes to my brain is Dunkirk. I mean, and we've talked about that a little bit. And Chris Nolan is...
I was going to say, if we get a Chris Nolan movie, we're good.
Yeah. It's just, that's the thing. Is that, like, that
doesn't matter the content.
And I am okay with that. Like, he's one of those directors where I am okay with being that type of fanboy. Where I'm just kind of like... Yeah,
that's how we are with Fincher too.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. It's like, oh, there's a Fincher film coming out. You're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm there. Like, let's
right.
Like, where can I get the tickets? Well, I haven't even told you what it's about yet. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But Chris Nolan even more so. You know, even though Fincher is my favorite director, and this might sound a little weird, but
yeah, I was gonna say
Fincher's my favorite director, 100%. But with Chris Nolan, it's an event.
Mm.
Like, Fincher for me is an event, but I feel like Chris Nolan for the film community.
More of the masses.
More of the masses is an event. Like, his movie still, you feel like you're truly going to witness something by going to a Chris Nolan film. And with Fincher, I know I'm going to see a good movie, but I don't necessarily need to see it on the big screen.
It's more subtle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think that's kind of where I'm coming from.
I can see that.
And with Dunkirk, I like the idea of... it being based in reality,
mm-hmm.
where there's not going to be some sort of odd twist,
right.
You know, like an Interstellar, you know, it was took place in the future. There was
right.
interstellar travel. There was these four dimensional beings, you know, in
Inception.
It was all it took place in the mind. You know, Batman trilogy was about a guy flying around in a cape,
right.
You know, like almost everything had a twist except Insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see that. And I don't know how much he filmed in IMAX, but if, like, every single film he's done has filmed a little bit more in IMAX.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see how much Dunkirk has filmed in IMAX.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it looks good. I mean, it looks quality. And
of course.
I mean, can't go wrong.
It's Nolan.
I'm excited about Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant, indeed. I mean, we just saw the trailer, the
mm-hmm.
first trailer.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days
Doesn't
ago,
look
really.
Very much so they're going more horror.
Yes.
And that kind of scares me a little bit.
The first one was horror.
Okay.
You know, Alien was horror, and then
right.
Aliens was the action film.
Right.
Then Alien 3 was kind of the drama. And
yeah.
Alien 4 was
we don't
an
talk
abomination.
About.
That's what that
well,
category
and I,
was.
I prefer Alien over
me too.
Aliens. But I kind of, from the trailer, like I hate to say this. Okay, you're okay. But I feel like we're kind of going more modern horror than alien horror. Because alien horror was kind of its own genre of, like, suspense.
Yeah.
Like, I remember as a kid, I was allowed to watch that one because it was, like, scary, but not too scary that I couldn't watch it.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
I think it's, like, its own, you know, it's more about, like, oh, my gosh, we are seeing the alien, but we don't know we're stealing the alien.
It was more of a thriller, yeah.
Exactly. Whereas this trailer concerns me because I feel like it's going into that popularized horror genre that everyone goes and watches and makes a ton of money, but it doesn't feel like Alien.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense because I didn't mention this to you. I didn't say this to you.
No, we didn't have this conversation.
We didn't have this conversation before, but that when I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, cool, Alien. And then, oh, there's a girl in a shower.
Yep. That's what I was thinking.
I was like, I've never seen that in an Alien film before. And then I just, yeah, it totally has that tone of, oh, this is a horror film. Like, if the other Alien films didn't exist, I don't know how much attention I would give this.
I agree.
That's weird, right?
I completely agree with you. Yeah. And just because you have xenomorphs in there doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a good movie.
Right.
So it concerns me a little bit.
That's true, because like if you threw a xenomorph into Prometheus, it wouldn't have made it a good film.
No.
And if you throw a xenomorph into just some random horror film, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good film.
No, it doesn't.
Now, if 2016 has taught us anything, it's don't judge a movie by its trailer.
That's true. No, that's a good point.
And that can go good or can go bad.
And they could be trying to pull those masses that are really into the horror genre. Because, I mean, I think about the kids I teach and, like, they probably are not into Alien. Mm-hmm. But they probably would see that trailer and be like, oh, yeah, I'm totally there. So I don't know. It just concerns me because it doesn't feel like
it could be them trying to hook in the international audience early. That was another conversation that we had today about why, visual sci-fi and horror does so well internationally is because you can sell that feeling and you can sell that visual storytelling without needing subtitles too terribly much.
That's true.
And so with that kind of feeling, like, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they're trying to draw those people in. I'm hoping. I mean, Ridley Scott is an extremely talented filmmaker, and he's had a lot of misses in the past decade. But I feel like I want to give him more credit again because of The Martian.
Sure, I understand that.
You know, like the I liked Kingdom of Heaven, and then nothing in between, and then he came out with The Martian, and then I was like, okay, Ridley, okay.
Right.
Like, I know you're a good director. You know you're a good director. Yeah. Let's you know, you've seen what you did wrong with Prometheus. Let's bring it home.
That's true. So. Yeah. All right. What else am I excited about? I'm excited about Wonder Woman, but hesitantly.
I know, right? DC has made me so freaking gun shy that I was saying this the other day that it's DC fans are kind of like soccer fans. Soccer is all about the anticipation of something good happening. You can watch a 90-minute match and nothing can happen. Like, no, you could have a 0-0 at the end of 90 minutes and it could still be an amazing game because it's all about the anticipation of a goal happening. That is what it's like being a DC fan. Because it's not about the result, it's about the anticipation. And so every single time they release a crap movie, you're like, no. We still have
Wonder Woman. We still have Justice League.
Justice League, yeah. Like when Man of Steel came out, we're like, okay, it's fine. You know, that was very mediocre. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't bad. It was very mediocre. And then like, okay, Batman v Superman, that looks good. You know, oh, that third trailer came out. It's okay. Then we saw the movie. We still have Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad will save the franchise. Oh my God, Suicide Squad did not save the franchise. Well, we still have Wonder Woman. Yeah. That is what it is, being a DC fan.
I know. The thing that excites me about Wonder Woman is it's a period piece. I think that's interesting. Yeah. I think that's cool.
True.
And
Chris Pine.
Yeah, I think that Robin could Wright, be very interesting. On a horse. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that and alone, I'm going to go see it. Mm-hmm. yeah, but I feel like that's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
But I'm scared. I'm very hesitant because, you know, I don't want to put it too high and then be super disappointed like I have been time and time again.
Yeah, with Suicide Squad, I was completely optimistic. Yeah. I was like, no, this is going to be cool. And I was wrong. And then with Wonder Woman, though, okay, I'm cautiously optimistic. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, all right, we got a different type of director.
Mm-hmm.
We got a female director. We've got a really great cast. It's set in an interesting time period that we don't normally see.
It's true.
Okay, all the pieces are there.
Right. So how are we going to screw it up?
Yeah.
I'm more excited about that one than Justice League. Just because I was never a huge Justice League fan.
Yeah.
I think it's just for me, I don't really like putting them all together. I know that so many people love the Avengers, and it's kind of like, you know, obviously the DC version of that. But I don't know. I like more of the standalone when it comes to my DC characters.
You know, I started thinking about this. I actually started thinking about this today as I was reading some of my comic books. And I started reading some Justice League comic books. I was just reading some of the greats, mm-hmm. you know, because get them through a digital download through the library and it's free and why not? Because I was never really that big of a Justice League fan. You know, like I read some of the New 52, I read some of the Rebirth and it was good. And but I've never read any really classic stuff. And as I started reading a little bit more, I'm just like, I don't like Justice League. Like and it's exactly what you said. It was just like, I like the standalone. I like reading a standalone Superman story like Red Son.
Yeah.
I like a standalone Batman story mm-hmm. Like Hush or mm-hmm. something like that. And I think that translates to the movies too. And like Nolan himself doesn't believe in a universe where Batman and Superman are together. He doesn't think that they should exist together. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that it's a filmmaker that we greatly respect.
Right.
And that's his opinion. I don't know if I'm to that extent yet, but I'm really excited about the idea of a Ben Affleck standalone film, because I respect Ben Affleck as a director. I know that you're not convinced yet.
No.
But with Justice League, besides this horrible Owlman costume that he's going to have in Justice League, I feel like, I don't know, maybe they learned from the past. Maybe Snyder has learned from that. No. I can't even finish the sentence.
I don't even know how you're... Yeah.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
I was going to say.
I am watching the soccer game right now in my head.
I know,
and I'm trying to anticipate good things, but...
It's too hard.
I don't know. Like, it's funny, that line... I know this is not... It's not like one line can sell me on a movie. I'm just saying that... It could be one of my...
Give you hope.
Yeah, it gave me hope. Like, it could be one of my favorite Batman lines ever. And it's from a movie. It's from a Batman film I haven't even seen yet. And it's when Cyborg says, he's like, oh. And like, he sees Batman. And he's like, I didn't even, I didn't even think you were real. And then Batman says, I'm real when it's useful. I don't know. I just, that line just blows me away.
Just because it's Batman.
Just because it's Batman. you're right. That's the thing. Just giving me Batman goes a long way.
It's true.
I'm one of those guys.
I know. It's not enough, though. It's not enough.
Aquaman looks cool. Did you ever think I would say that?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know.
Come on. Come on. He looks cool. He looks badass.
He looks cool, but it's still Aquaman. Okay. Well, moving on.
Moving on.
Speaking of people who do it right, there's some Marvel movies coming out, and I mean, there's Spider-Man.
You're just giving Marvel a lot of love today. Who are you?
Well, you know what? I've been burned too many times by my ex-lover DC.
Not ex-lover, just lover on the skids.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
he's pissed you off, and yeah. You still love him.
Okay.
But you're just keeping some distance.
I was going to say.
You're on a break.
Oh my gosh. Spider-Man, Homecoming, Thor.
Well, let's talk about those two real quick.
Okay, but I'm more excited about two other ones.
Okay, we'll get to those two other ones real quick.
All right.
But let's talk about Spider-Man, Homecoming, and Thor. Now,
I don't really care.
No?
No.
Neither do I.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, well, that's the thing, is that, like, Spider-Man, Homecoming, the trailer was great.
We'll rent it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We'll rent it.
It's
another Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
Spidey in Civil War was very entertaining.
Yeah.
But
I'm expecting that's all it will be in the movie, too. Like,
yeah.
I'm just expecting the same thing.
Marvel is just so plateaued right now. It is just, I mean,
yeah.
There's this level of quality that you're guaranteed with a Marvel film.
Right.
Even if it's good or bad, you know that you're going to get this level of action, this level of comedy, mm-hmm. this level of drama.
This level of beam of light shining out of the sky.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You're going to get that. And so I feel like it's fast food movies is yeah. what it is. It's Marvel is the McDonald's of restaurants where, I mean, you can get a really tasty McDonald's fry. Is there better stuff out there? You betcha. But there's a McDonald's everywhere.
And it's consistent.
And you know that no matter where you go in the country, you're going to get your money's worth because you know what you're spending it on.
That's true.
That's
Marvel. It's true. I think that's why the other two, Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, excite me a little bit more. Because Logan looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And Guardians of the Galaxy 2 already was kind of a different feeling
yeah.
Marvel movie.
It's true.
So those two excite me way more than Thor and Spider-Man.
Now, with Thor, I really liked the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. And I didn't know...
Did you like the second one?
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay, I didn't like it either. Oh no, it was so bad. Yeah.
But I was surprised that not that many people liked the first Thor. I was surprised. Because I was like, oh, I thought that was a solid
yeah,
film.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was a very solid film. I really enjoyed all the characters. I liked the plot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have too terribly much that I didn't like about it. And then I saw the second one. I was like, why? Why did this happen? This was so bad and just poorly put together. I don't even recommend seeing it and making your own opinion. Just don't watch it. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
But with Thor Ragnarok, it's directed by the same guy who directed, is it called We in the Shadows or something like that? That vampire film, that
oh,
mockumentary?
Oh, no, right, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
He was actually one of the actors in it, too. Like, he was the guy with the shorter hair.
Okay.
And,
well, yeah. That'll be different.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's going to be a different dynamic because it's supposed to be Thor and the Hulk together. Like, it's going to be like a buddy movie.
Okay.
And I really liked the buddy dynamic in Captain America Winter Soldier
mm-hmm.
with Black Widow and Steve Rogers. So I'm hoping maybe we'll get that same kind of feel. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just, Thor 2
yeah,
was just
I'm,
so bad.
I'm just kind of over, I don't know. I don't need another Spider-Man movie. I never really was a huge Spider-Man fan, though. That being said,
I like the concept of Spidey more than the character.
Okay.
Like what I liked of Spider-Man was mainly like the cartoons growing up as a little boy.
Okay.
That's mainly where my love of Spider-Man comes from because like I never really read the comic books that much, and I didn't really dig on the Tobey Maguire ones and the Andrew Garfield ones
mm-hmm.
was just. Eh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless people tell me, like, no, you absolutely have to see this one.
I just feel like they keep trying. It's like, we have so many. Like, they keep trying to make it better.
This is going to be the sixth
yeah.
Spider-Man film
yeah.
in modern history.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Whereas I really do think that Guardians of the Galaxy 2, it looks promising because I liked the first one.
Well, did you?
I did.
Okay, because I didn't think you liked it that much.
No, I thought it was different, and I think that's the thing I appreciate about it. Like, was it my favorite? No. But would I rather, like, watch, like, Civil War? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's an interesting concept in different characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, when the Guardians of the Galaxy save the universe, it feels like it fits.
True. True. Because they're actually... You know, in space and
they're in
different
space.
Galaxies.
They're dealing, yeah, they're yeah. dealing with celestial stuff. And
right.
They're actually floating around in the galaxy.
Right.
And it just makes more sense that they're dealing with things that have cosmic consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have every single superhero film dealing with this, you know, saving the universe or saving the world, it just gets a little. And I think that's another reason why Civil War was so well received is because it was, even though like there was a lot of countries involved, it still mm-hmm. felt like a smaller, intimate drama.
Well, right. It wasn't like, again, you didn't have like aliens coming from, you know, this orb or something like that.
Right. Or a giant beam
right,
in the sky.
Right. It was much more like, okay, we're trying to stop this person from doing this thing,
mm-hmm.
which makes a lot more sense.
Like what Suicide Squad should have been.
Exactly.
But let's get back to Logan.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly excited about Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, and for the exact reason that you said, it's different. In it's a Fox film, but it's a Marvel property. Blah 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 blah.
Right,
we all know
it feels
that.
Grittier.
It feels grittier. It's going to be an R-rated film, and it just looks different.
Right.
And that's what we need. We need to be okay with this, with these franchise films. We need to have these directors and these side movies that maybe just try something a little different.
Right. Well, and like, I really like Wolverine. I like Logan, the character.
No, you like Hugh Jackman. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, he's very attractive. So I wouldn't mind watching anything with him in it. But I feel like I was getting a little tired of that character showing up all the time. But this feels like a different approach to it. And so I think I'm okay with it.
Yes. You see, that's the thing, is that every X-Men, like, when they said that they were going to have Wolverine standalone films, I was like, how is that any different?
Right. How many can you actually have?
From any X-Men film that has come before. Right. Like, X-Men 1, 2, and 3 were basically Wolverine standalone films.
And then you had, like, Wolverine, and you had, like, the prequel kind of stuff.
The origin ones that was just god-awful. Mm-hmm. And Wolverine was completely mediocre, and I liked Days of Future Past, and that was basically a Wolverine film. And I didn't really like First Class, and Apocalypse was just, ugh.
Oh, that's terrible.
So it's funny how many misses that series has had, but yet when you do something this different, it makes people kind of go, oh, well, maybe this one will be okay.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah, I'm excited about it. All right, what else are we excited about? Star Wars 8.
Of course, Star Wars 8. I mean, there's not really much to be said.
No.
They finished filming. We've talked about this a lot on the network with Carrie Fisher being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually when Carrie Fisher passed, it was interesting how often we see her face in this house.
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
Like, we see her on buttons. We have some of her novels as we're seeing her face on the spine. And we have towels in our bathroom with her silhouette. This is not a joke.
It's true.
And, like, you hear her voice at the beginning of every single Nerd Nuptial in our opening theme.
My avatar in our logo is her. So.
Yeah. It's, is Leia.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to talk about it because we took the week off, but we're definitely sad with her passing, and she finished filming episode 8, so we're going to see her again.
Yeah.
We're going to see her in another movie this December, so basically in 12 months we're going to see her again.
Mm-hmm.
But it does raise some questions about episode 9, and they're kind of dealing with that right now.
Yeah, because she was supposed to be more intricate into that storyline, what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So it's very sad.
It is very sad, and it's it does raise some questions on what they're going to do or how they're going to deal with it, because how can you have Star Wars without Leia? I honestly do not know how you're going to do that, and I hope they find a respectful way to do it.
Absolutely. I think they will.
Yeah, I think so. I have faith in Kathleen Kennedy. I have a lot of faith in Kathleen Kennedy. I think she will make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
But with episode 8, I think the thing that excites me the most about episode 8 is two words: Luke Skywalker.
That's true. That's very true. Like, we actually get some Luke.
This is going to be a Luke Skywalker story, and we deserve it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, that's what our biggest complaint about The Force Awakens was. We didn't have Luke in it.
Yeah.
And
I understand why they didn't.
I know. I get it too.
But I need Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Like,
it's true.
I need him.
Yeah. I'm excited about Rey, so.
Yeah. No, like, well, that's the thing, is that, like, that dynamic, I feel like it's going to be Luke and Rey, just the two of them, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's.
I hope so.
And I feel like we're kind of divided up. I think it's going to be Luke and Rey together for a while. And of course, Chewie's going to be with him, but, you know, Chewie doesn't speak. And I think it's going to be Poe and Finn for a little bit too. And so I think you might have those two storylines going concurrently. And I'm excited about that kind
of pairing. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. What else are you excited about?
Well, let's see. Let's take a look at the list, because we talked about a lot of them. And I don't know. I feel like there's a few things on here that we just need to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've talked about the ones that we're most excited about.
Yeah, for sure.
But okay, so you talked about Fincher earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor. I don't believe it, and I don't think it's going to happen. But there's a rumor that he is going to direct World War Z 2.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's mainly the Brad Pitt connection. I think because him and, like, David Fincher and Brad Pitt have worked together a lot. They're good friends. And they're currently looking for a director. And Fincher doesn't really have a film on his plate right now.
Okay.
He's developing a TV show. Is it Mindhunter? I think it's Mindhunter. Or Mindhunters. Which is his new Netflix show that he's executive producing and directing the first two episodes, like he did with House of Cards. But I can't see him doing it. I can't see him agreeing to that.
What? No.
I mean, he's never done an action film before.
Well, it's World War Z 2. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's silly.
I mean, the closest thing he did to an action film was Alien 3, and that was his first film.
And he doesn't even mention that
and
one.
And he doesn't even, he pretends he didn't direct that film. And Fight Club's not an action film. And,
no.
Seven wasn't an action film. And yeah, I'm just, no, like.
I don't see that.
I just don't see it either.
And also, like, him doing a two just feels like he would not do a two.
A sequel?
Yeah, like he wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, like after his first film, which he tries to forget that he did, he hasn't done a sequel.
Right, I just feel like unless he was in charge of the franchise, like if it was Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, I could see that. Obviously, yeah. That's not going to happen.
No.
But I can't see him just like stepping in and be like, sure, I'll direct World War Z 2. Like, no, wouldn't happen.
I feel like...
Plus, like, what do you... What? No.
I feel like the only way that he would do it is if he had way more control than any company would be willing to give him.
Yeah,
because he's a very demanding
then...
individual. And he's a very expensive individual. And they had a hard time funding the first World War Z. So I
don't think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so.
With I have zero expectations for World War Z 2 because the only way that I could see them redeem themselves is if they showed the Battle of Yonkers.
Oh, okay.
Or did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where they actually pulled something from the novel.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't think they will, though.
I just... Whatever. Like, on that one.
Blade Runner.
2049.
Yeah.
We got a teaser trailer
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago, and it looks really cool. And... Wait, which director did it? Crap. I can't remember which director did it, but it looks really cool, and Ryan Gosling is going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think they hired Ryan Gosling just because he looks awesome walking slow.
He does. That's very true. That's not a bad reason to cast someone in Blade Runner.
And he's just, Ryan Gosling is all over the place. Like,
yeah, he really is.
He is just really...
I like him.
Yeah, no, I like him too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. He's a very talented actor. Okay, so I'm going to murder his last name. I do not know how to pronounce this director's last name. Denis Villeneuve.
You're just going to say it like that.
Villeneuve. Denis Villeneuve. He's the guy who did Arrival.
Okay.
And Sicario, which was very popular. And there's a rumor that he's been tapped to remake Dune.
Oh,
and I think
he has a
really interesting style visually, and with everybody raining so much praise on Arrival, and we'll see how he does with Blade Runner before I pass any judgment on him potentially doing Dune. But I don't when it was first announced that they were going to do a Blade Runner sequel, my first question was why?
Yeah, that's kind of still where I'm at.
You know,
are you more excited after seeing the trailer?
I am more interested.
Okay.
After seeing the trailer, because I feel like they got the tone right.
That is true. I definitely felt Blade Runner.
It felt like we were going back to that world.
It did. It's for sure.
And we're actually getting Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So hopefully he
won't. I wonder how much.
Yeah. Hopefully he won't be sleepwalking this movie like he has with so many of his other ones.
Yeah. We'll see.
Hopefully we'll get that same excitement that he gave in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm interested. I'm not.
Yeah, I understand that.
So one other thing that came out that I, when it was first announced, I was like, oh, this is going to suck. Like Tom Cruise in a mummy film. I don't see it. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh.
And isn't it the actress who plays Jayla?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more of what I'm excited about.
Oh, really? You're more excited about Jayla?
Yeah. Than Tom. I mean, I like Tom Cruise, even though he's crazy. But I think that she looks cool.
Yeah. I can never remember her name. I think it's Sophia something.
Oh, my gosh.
Crap. I'm so bad. but yeah, she was in Kingsman, and she was Jayla in Star Trek Beyond. And she plays the mummy. I think she's a great physical actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, I don't know if she was a dancer or a fighter. I'm not quite sure. But she's somehow, she's physically trained in that kind of way. So I think she could bring some pretty cool aspects to the role. And also it's a female mummy, which
that's true.
We don't really see that much as the main villain. Yeah. And
it is weird, though, to like, I don't know, just the idea of kind of that franchise and Tom Cruise being in it. I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it just
still. It looks cool, but
for some reason you just don't think Tom Cruise and the mummy. It just doesn't feel like it fits. But the tone of the movie, it does fit. Like after you see it, you're just like, oh, this feels like a Tom Cruise film.
It does, yeah.
And Russell Crowe's going to be in it, and Sophia Boutella, that's her name. And I was blown away by the trailer. I was like, oh, holy crap, I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
like,
this is
kind of a heart-pounding action film. It kind of looked like a Mission Impossible film.
It did. But I was just going to say that. Especially with them jumping out of the plane and stuff. I was like, okay.
We saw him running. We saw him running in the trailer.
We saw him running. So,
I mean, it's not a Tom Cruise film unless you see him running.
That's right. I'm excited about Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a musical, I want to see it. I directed the play version at the high school, and so it's been a while since I've been able to listen to those songs. But I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I was talking with friend and fellow co-host Matt Rushing of the network, and he really likes the live Disney adaptations. Like he liked. He liked Cinderella a whole lot more than we did. We didn't really like it. He loved it. But we started talking Beauty and the Beast, and he says that he's pretty excited, but he hopes that they do something different. He hopes that they put a little different spin on it so that it would separate itself from the cartoon. And I understand that thinking, and normally I would agree. I would be like, yeah, give us a reason to see this live-action adaptation. Do something different. Make it your own. But I have to disagree personally on this one because I love the cartoon so much. I'd be like, you know what? I'm fine with just a transcription.
I was
going to
say, I kind of feel like Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon we grew up with,
mm-hmm.
The Disney cartoon, I feel like out of, I mean, maybe just because my bias, but I feel like out of all of the Disney movies, I feel like that one is so just like perfect.
Perfectly done.
Yeah, like the music's great. And
the acting,
yeah, I mean,
story,
even like the
characters.
Stage, it's funny because even the stage play, it's basically the exact same thing.
It's pretty much.
It maybe adds like two more songs into it, but they knew that they had something really good, so they weren't going to change it too much.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
Right. And whereas I hear like, you know, other songs from other, you know, Disney stage plays and like Aladdin and stuff like that. And they've kind of like, there's, you know, a little bit different twist to different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty and the Beast, it's pretty much, that's what you get. So I don't know. I will be interested.
I saw The Lion King on stage.
Oh, that's true.
I saw that and it was very cool. It was very cool with the spectacle. I mean, the costumes, it is everything that they say it is. But at the same time, I was just kind of like, I've seen the cartoon. You know,
oh,
as,
really?
As I was watching this, I was like, I've seen the cartoon.
Huh.
Why am I just watching the cartoon? I'm watching the cartoon right
really?
Now.
Really?
Yeah, and everyone called me a madman. Because they're like, what? It's like when I said I didn't really dig on Hamilton. People are like, oh my God, you're dead inside. And yeah, it's just, with Beauty and the Beast, I don't know. I'd be kind of like, yeah. Just give me the cartoon.
Give me the cartoon. I'm
good. Although they did release a 30-second sample of Emma Watson singing. And
you were not a huge fan.
No, I wasn't. I was just kind of like, oh.
I mean, I think we both like compared it to Les Mis when.
Yeah. The latest Les Mis, the live action.
Right. When
live action Les Mis. It's all live action. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I feel like.
Because that's when they started releasing the sound bites of the people singing in Les Mis, the actors who are not professional singers.
Right.
I was kind of like, oh, this might not be as good as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And
well, especially when you get used to hearing your Broadway soundtrack, mm-hmm. you know, when you hear that, you're like, okay, this is the way it should be. And so I feel like whenever you if you didn't have that connection, mm-hmm. then I don't think it would be a problem.
That's true, because with Broadway stars, they're singers first, actors second.
Right.
With a live action adaptation musical, they pick actors first, mm-hmm. singers second.
Well, celebrities first.
Excuse me, celebrities first, yeah. And Emma Watson, I mean, she has a very pretty voice. It's she hits those notes, I'm sure with the help of some computers, but there's no power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no emotion.
Well,
when you
hear, like, you know, for example, the soundtrack to the Disney movie, or you hear it the Broadway on the Broadway, you know, the Broadway, because we listen to that one a lot too, that's what you hear, is that power.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll
it just felt much more subdued. Now that's a 30-second sample of one song.
Very true.
So I'm not passing too much judgment.
It's true.
I'm just saying, on that 30-second sample, there was no power behind
it. I struggle with things that are on stage first and then on movie. Now this one's a little bit different because we're coming from a cartoon and then stage and mm-hmm. then movie. But like, for example, Into the Woods, when that one came out, I was so in love with the soundtrack of the Broadway performers that it was just really hard for me to get behind. And I think that certain times, certain things are better on stage just because the mystery is more interesting on stage versus mm-hmm. what you have in a movie. But that's just me because I'm a director.
Yeah, because like you are a literal theater director.
So.
But yeah, sometimes the illusion, the magic of the stage mm-hmm. is a lot of fun. And like when you see someone dressed up as Lumiere,
right.
You're not like, oh, that looks fake. You know, like you don't think that.
Right. Well, actually, it's funny because when I decided to direct that one, that was actually something I was having a hard time getting my head around.
Oh, really?
Was because I think in the cartoon, you're like they're actually like a candelabra mm-hmm. and a clock, whereas when you bring it to the stage, those actors have to be so full of life that they sell that they're actually. You know, these crazy characters. Otherwise, it's just, yeah, you look stupid in that costume.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that this could be really cool. But we'll
yeah.
see.
And it's Ewan McGregor as
Lumiere. I was
going to
say,
so
yeah. I mean, that's going to be pretty awesome.
That's going to be cool. okay, well, the last film that we should talk about is Lego Batman.
That's going to be fun.
that's going to be a fun film because,
yes.
like, was the Lego movie... like my favorite movie ever? No. Was it really enjoyable and entertaining? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It was. It
Absolutely.
Really was. And I think the Batman character struck a chord with America in the audience. And it clearly, because it, like, did you ever think that we would ever get a standalone Batman film in Lego form?
No, I don't think that I ever thought that. But I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's Will Arnett
yeah.
reprising the role.
Right.
And we're getting Rosario Dawson and Michael Cera in it. And
yeah.
I think Zach Galifianakis is in it.
Yeah,
and,
it'll show you really fun.
Ralph Fiennes as Alfred.
You know, it's just, right.
It's going to be fun. I feel like fellow host on the network, Sean Eastridge, he hosts Missing Frames. And which everyone should check out at thenerdparty.com, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Give us a follow. Give us a like. And he said, like, I don't know if he was joking. I don't know. I never know when he's joking or not. But he said he's like, that's my Batman.
The Lego Batman.
The Lego Batman is like everyone was talking about, like oh, you know, Christian Bale is my Batman or Michael Keaton's my Batman or Adam West, and Sean's just like, no,
Lego Batman. That's hilarious. That's awesome. Well, whatever Batman is yours.
Hey, there is no wrong
That's
answer.
That's right. That's right.
Whatsoever. All right. Well, would you say, like, I can't remember if you mentioned the one that you're looking forward to the most. Is there one that you're looking forward to the most on that list?
I guess the one I have the most hope for is War of Planet of the Apes, because I feel like I know what I'm getting. And I like that feeling. Yeah, I think, like, probably Dunkirk would be second.
Yeah.
And then, what, I don't know what would be third. Maybe Alien, just because I love the franchise, but I don't know. It scares me a little bit.
And I think Star Wars is on a different level.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like that's in a separate category all on its own.
Yeah. I know it sounds funny, but because I know I'm going to get one every year, I think that also kind of
puts it
in a different category.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that way too?
They might be robbing us a little bit of these special...
Yeah.
By giving us a Star Wars film every single year, because we got one in 77 and, you know, in the 81 and 83 or something like that. I might be getting the dates wrong. And then nothing until 99.
Right. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it kind of takes a little bit away from it.
It does.
Just a little bit.
It does. I mean, they've become a, you know, part of the machine.
Yeah.
It's part of the machine.
Yep. And so we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I'd have to agree with you 100% on your other ones. Like War of the Planet of the Apes at the top, Dunkirk next, and then Alien Covenant underneath that, just because of our love for the franchise.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it, folks. Now this was by no means... We maybe mentioned like 20%
of
the movies that are coming out in 2017. We're getting a lot of great films. We're getting a lot of whatever, you know, coming out in 2017. So please let us know what you think. What do you think of our list? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, did we not mention something that you're super excited about?
Absolutely. So, are you just like, you know what? You're like, screw Dunkirk, screw Alien. I can't wait for the Baywatch film to come out. You know, like maybe you're one of those people. And if you are, why are you listening to this show? So email us by going to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from there, fill out the form. You can send us an email and let us know what you think. And also, as I mentioned before, go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. That's where we have a lot of nerd news and a lot of episode posts. And we get some people who start the conversation. And please check out nerdsandbeyond.com. They're an associate of ours, and they have great nerd news, and it's straight and to the point, and no clickbait, no nothing like that. And also, please join the conversation on Twitter by going to twitter.com/joinnerdparty. Give us a follow there. And also, we have a new show for you guys.
Yeah.
A brand spanking new show. I am thoroughly excited about this one. It's called Owlpost, a Harry Potter podcast. It's hosted by Andrea Kaufman and Matt Rushing. It is a show where I love this premise. I love this premise where they're going to tackle a chapter, an episode of the Harry Potter saga. There's something like 199 or 200 chapters in the entire Harry Potter saga. And they're going to do like one episode per chapter.
That's awesome.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but there's
already dedication.
It is hardcore dedication. So if you're an old Harry Potter fan, or if you're thinking about picking up the Harry Potter books because you're sick of people talking about them and not knowing what's going on, now is a great time to do it. And you can follow along or read ahead, but everyone should check it out. Go to the nerdparty.com and check out Owlpost. Check out all of our other shows, because we have Nerd Party content coming to you every single day of the week.
I love you.
I know.
I did not start this war. I offered you peace. I showed you mercy. Now you're here. finish us off. For good.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.